are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, May the 12th, and revisiting the legacy of Isaiah Thomas today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I am loving this stuff every morning. Looking forward to giving you my box here that I ordered. Got the sample box already down in my gullet. Enjoyed that. Going to tell you more about Built Bar a little bit later, but go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Support those who support us here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, going to talk about Blake Griffin, and I'm going to throw up my hands, maybe throw my body in front of any ideas of possibly playing Blake Griffin if there is any kind of season the rest of the way. We're also going to be joined by Chuck Modiano of Deadspin.com, a pure Knicks fan, a New Yorker at heart as well. Had a nice talk with him about Isaiah Thomas. He's got an article on Deadspin that we'll tell you guys about as well that you need to read if you're a Pistons fan. Give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the most influential Pistons bracket of all time, the most influential Pistons of all time bracket, I should say. Maybe it's not the most influential bracket of all time, but we're down to Isaiah versus Joe. Chuck had some thoughts on that. Check that out a little bit later, but we'll have that breakdown for you later on this week as well. The Last Dance, Chuck and I broke that down a little bit. Brendan Quinn of The Athletic had a good tweet, I thought, about it, saying that good thing that Michael Jordan found basketball or else he would have been a serial killer. So, I agreed with that. I think I faved that one. Should have given Brennan the retweet on that there. But the big news, I guess, in Piston Land on Monday is that Blake Griffin was on a podcast talking about his knee. He was on The Encore with Sage Steele. Check that out online. But Griffin says, I feel great. I've basically been cleared for a while now. I've just been stuck at my house. I'm ready to go whenever things pick back up. We talked about Dwayne Casey being on with Jamie and Stoney, 97.1 Friday morning, as they talked about the McDonald's giveaway that the Pistons are doing in the city of Detroit for first responders. Remind folks that you know about that to check that out, the DDOT drivers, the firefighters, the police officers, and all the healthcare workers at the 28 locations of McDonald's in Detroit. Get yourself a free breakfast until 10:30 every day until May 31st. But anyway, Dwayne Casey talked about with Jamie and Stoney about how, you know, they're not sure if they're in off-season mode right now or still going to be able to go out there and play five games. It sounds like that the NBA might bring all the teams back. I don't know. I kind of get it. I understand why you would. In some ways, they got to get the 70 games for some of the sports networks like Fox Sports Detroit that might need to fulfill some of those contracts. It's all a money thing, but it would make sense that if you're going to bring the league back, that you would bring the whole league back, even if it is for a few games. I want to throw my body in front of Blake Griffin, and I'll throw Derrick Rose into this as well. There is no reason at all that these guys should be playing in any of these games. It should be for all the young guys. I do think that Luke Kennard should get out there if he's available to play, just so you could showcase him for trade possibilities, if that's going to be something that's going to be on the menu this offseason. All the young guys, if Bruce Brown's hand is and thumb is surgically repaired and ready to go, got no problem with that. Anyone who's young, especially like a Kyrie Thomas or a Jordan Bone, who might be fighting for their NBA lives, I got no reason for Christian Wood to be out there as far as I'm concerned. Certainly the Pistons don't want to win any of these games. That's the exact opposite of what you want. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Blake Griffin should be in off-season mode right now. If he is healthy, he should just be doing his off-season work. And if that means coming back and practicing with the team when they're getting ready for any kind of season that might be happening in a bubble situation going forward, I got no problem with him joining the team, participating in practice, doing his individual stuff, all that good stuff. But nothing 100% from Blake Griffin, nothing full bore, nothing contact-wise needs to be done with Blake Griffin right now. put him on ice and get him ready for next year. Obviously, that begs a bigger question of what a rebuilding Pistons team should want out of Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin. Certainly, Blake Griffin doesn't have the trade value. We're going to get anything for him of value this offseason, so you're going to need to showcase him next year, which goes kind of incongruent with the goal of the Pistons probably wanting to be bad again next season. So we're heading into some confusing times. On the other hand, Derrick Rose played so well this year that he might have some trade value. You might unload him this offseason, and that might be a good thing for the future of the team. So a lot of big questions, but my big answer right now is no. Do not play Derrick Rose, and certainly don't play Blake Griffin if there is going to be 5-10 games for the Pistons the rest of whatever this season ends up looking like, if it ends up looking like anything the rest of the way. But up next, we got Chuck Modiano of Deadspin joining us. Had a nice chat with him. Anxious to share that with you guys. This is coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, been telling you guys all about Built Bar, and I think you could catch it from my voice that it's not just shtick. Built Bars are the real deal. This is a kind of item that I've been looking for is the easy breakfast solution for me. Obviously, this could be a midday snack, maybe even a dessert substitute. It's perfect for whatever you're looking for on a nutritious but also delicious treat at any part of the day. They are tasty. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, 16 amazing flavors, and the deal of the century coming to you from Locked On Podcast Network. 100% chocolate covers these bars. They're soft and easy to chew, better than Clif bars, better than all those other bars that are geared towards men. These are the bars that are for the health-conscious guy out there. You lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Those are all the marks that you want to hit for today's diets, no matter what they are. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, one word, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Chuck Modiano of Deadspin joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Chuck, M-O-D-I, number one, talking about an article that he wrote about Zeke, Isaiah Thomas. Chuck, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, Matt, great to be here.
Appreciate you coming on and referencing the article from Deadspin that everyone should check out. It's titled, Let Me Fill In Some of the Missing Details on the Complex Record of Isaiah Thomas, a must-read for Pistons fans who want a little bit of a different version of history than maybe that we're getting on Sunday nights right now. When we were talking before turning the recorder on here, and as Pistons fans, you've got a little bit of a kindred spirit over there in New York with some of the Knicks fans as we watch The Last Dance. Is that right?
No, that's absolutely right. I'm a big Knicks fan. So Knicks fans have solidarity with Pistons fans. You know, I'm from the Ewing days, the Mason days, the Oakley days. And we believe if you came down the lane, you should get knocked down to the ground on the foul. And that's the ethos that the Pistons had, and the Knicks certainly adopted that same ethos. And we saw nothing wrong with it at the time. In fact, we saw that was absolutely the right way to play basketball. And here we are 30 years later, and it seems to be a problem.
Right, yeah, you see some of the ugly highlights at times that of course, are out of place given the context where we're watching them in 2020. But it's not like either of these teams were really racking up fines and suspensions all season long or anything like that. But Chuck, your article came out on May 1st, and we've had two separate Sundays since then of the Dream Team stuff, the last Sunday before. And then the slights kept piling up on Sunday night for Michael Jordan. It was the Bradford Smith story that comes out that Michael had made up himself. You know, Horace Grant with the Magic, all the stuff with Sports Illustrated from the past as well. As a Pistons fan myself and as a Knicks fan that you are, I kept waiting for maybe Monday morning quarterbacking, maybe for Twitter to kind of catch on and think, maybe if this guy is sounds like this time after time after time again, maybe nationally we're going to revisit a little bit of the Bad Boys Isaiah stuff that we talked about a couple weeks before. Am I just being like too much of a dreamer or a Pistons homer when I hope for something like that to happen and for us to go back?
You are absolutely not. I mean, if you're objective about it, and it's almost impossible to be objective in Michael Jordan because the media empire and pressure is so immense, including this 10-part series. But if you go through the entire Last Dance documentary, It's really a documentary that mirrors his Hall of Fame speech, where there isn't a grudge he has ever forgiven since, like, kindergarten. And I'm not even really being hyperbolic in saying that. Mm-hmm. Any slight, perceived, real, Bradford Smith's a good game, and he's holding on to it, and he's using it as fuel, and he's ripping their guts out afterwards. Now, think about this. Think about all the slights throughout the documentary that he holds on to, any little comments. And now think about the one man who beat him over and over and mm-hmm. over. If he's going to hold on to a little slight from a player like Bradford Smith, or a little comment that's probably coming up by Jeff Van Gundy or anyone, how is he going to feel towards Isaiah Thomas? Not just the only player to win over him, but do so in, you know, very physical style. Beat him down. He's going to hold on to that for life. There's no way he's going to come out of that experience with a positive view of Isaiah Thomas. And I'll tell you what's the craziest part of the whole thing, is that if you really think about it, when from a leadership style and will to win and will do anything to win, Isaiah and Michael are kind of really alike in that way.
Yeah, they're very similar.
But he doesn't hold that as a virtue when it's with Isaiah, but he holds it as a virtue with himself.
Yeah, you can tell how shook Isaiah or Michael Jordan still is about the Bad Boys and Isaiah Thomas, and that was my main takeaway from those Bad Boy centric episodes that they had a couple weeks back, is that wow, this guy is still, you know, he talks about Bradford Smith and all that stuff, and that was like a one day slight that he used to kind of rile him up for one game. Well, 30 years later, he's still got the Bad Boys right in the middle of his head as we speak. But for the record, you know, Michael Jordan, I know he's kind of shining it up a little bit more as time goes on, but he told Jack McCallum, the Sports Illustrated writer, in the Dream Team book that he did. I mean, he kept Isaiah Thomas off of that Dream Team. So I just want to put that out there for the record as well, as much as he's kind of dancing around it here on Sundays. But I want to talk more about your article, Chuck, and not stepping on it too much. But, you know, the Florida International days with Isaiah Thomas, we know up here in Michigan that we know he was a Division I coach down there. A lot of us kind of remember that he was down there, don't remember much else about it, and know that that team obviously didn't have a huge amount of success, didn't turn the corner on the court. And it gets kind of stacked up into a lot of these failures that Isaiah had, that the national media kind of holds him to in his post-playing resume. But what you wrote, that there's a little bit different of a story down there with the Florida International legacy that he still has.
Right, and I could argue about a lot of his legacies have been turned upside down. But mm-hmm. the Florida International was interesting. There's an ESPN writer. He's a good writer, Rick Bucher. He went down mm-hmm. at the time. Isaiah got fired. They had a bad record after 3 years, no question about it. But it was a team that hadn't won in 10 years, right? And it turns out he goes down, and Bucher learns that the players are furious. And so furious that there was a banquet and they walked out in protest. So what I call the real walkout. Mm-hmm. They walked out of this banquet in protest. And why did they walk out? Because they said, for the first time in my life, I was doing well in my studies. That he said when he met me, he didn't promise that we would win. He promised I would graduate. He promised me, looked me in the eye. He talked to my parents, I'm going to graduate. And he'd have these meetings over the weekends and the evenings. And we'd bring in counselors and professors and professionals to explain, talk to them about life and why you need to graduate. Keep in mind, no one from FIU is going to the NBA here, okay? Mm-hmm. So he took this Hall of Famer took this extra special interest in the young people that he was working with. And, you know, he said when they fired him, he was, you know, blown out of the water, as were his players. And he said, well, you know, Kentucky may be better off the court, but no one could beat me on the court. And why are you really coaching at a college? And he has this fantastic record. I believe it was 19 of the 21 young people he started touching were graduating. And that's not the story we're told. We're told he's a failure, but none of those players were saying that. Those players are saying, this man changed my life. And I think that story is a metaphor for the entire media portrayal of Isaiah going back 30 years, going back to the 1980s when he was doing community activism and no crime days in Detroit in the 80s, going back to his unknown LGBTQ activism before the marriage equality law came into play, He was very involved. We hear about a rift with him and Magic, which has since been beautifully resolved, and they had a great reconciliation. But there's a couple of untold stories. Some people know that he was the first to kiss him at the All-Star game at a time. Magic was HIV positive, and at that time, a lot of players were like, we don't know if we should play with Magic or touch Magic. Will we get AIDS? Karl Malone was very vocal about that. Not only did he do that and publicly touch him, but the only reason Magic was in the All-Star game to begin with is because Isaiah stood up for him in a locker room and said, he is going to play. I don't care what anyone said. They didn't want to play with him. And that story is widely unknown.
Chuck Modiano of Deadspin joining us and giving us all we want to hear about the positive things about Isaiah Thomas. And your article goes ahead and points out, you know, some of the bad, that the CBA was a bad run for him. The Raptors didn't go well. I know you're a Knicks fan, so you know on the court that didn't materialize, and off the court some embarrassing moments as well.
Yeah.
But what is it about Isaiah? I mean, we're all kind of in agreement that nobody's perfect, and certainly Isaiah is in that category, and he's done so much good over the years off the court, and of course he was the ultimate competitor and winner on the court as well. What is it about Isaiah other than has he rubbed four or five guys the wrong way, or is it there kind of why is it not just Jordan but the media that seems to kind of be jumping on him a little bit too?
Well, there are a few things, and I think you're right. It starts with Jordan, because listen, we wouldn't be talking about a 30-year walkout if Jordan were still pissed. We wouldn't. We would be forgiven. You know, he's apologized for like 30 years.
Yeah.
And in fact, and they say it in the documentary, Larry Bird did the same exact thing the year before. The Celtics did the same exact thing. In fact, Larry Bird says in an article, he never shook anyone's hand. And the only reason we're not talking about it is the way the Pistons dealt with it right away. They didn't, like, cry about it and whine about it. They're like, all right, you know, this happened. And they moved on. So it starts with Jordan's lack of forgiveness and the media following his lack of forgiveness. Because if he forgave, we'd all forgive. So there's that. And then when you talk about the dream, who did he beat? Well, he beat Scottie Pippen. Well, he's also on the Bulls, and they also roughed him up. He played Larry Bird. They had rivalries there. So you have some top players, not that Larry Bird vocally has said anything, but you have some top players that he beat. And these are competitions at the highest level. Magic is a little bit different of his story because they used to be incredible friends. They would say brothers, and they were extremely close in the 80s to the point where they would kiss on the floor. That changed a little in that series after, you know, they got competitive and Magic knocked him down once or twice. And that goes to show, once you start competing against each other at that highest level, that will change things. And then there were some other rumors that were third party, that we didn't know, that were spread. So a lot of he said, she said. The important thing is they reconciled. But I put Magic in a very different category than I put his other competitors. But you listen, he had the very same cutthroat to win attitude that Michael did. And you know what? He's the odd man out of that situation.
More with Chuck here in a minute, but let me tell you about the most useful app on my phone. It is hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more when you don't have the free time. You can't read or work on personal development. There is an incredible app out there that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It is called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. There are 12 million people out there smarter than you that you can catch up to if you use Blinkist right now. It has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from the bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you've always meant to read but never had the time to. We all want to read more. We all don't have any time. But there's books out there that you need to check out. Sea Stories, My Life in Special Operations by William H. McRaven. I think that's for some of you guys out there. Upheaval, Turning Points for Nations in Crisis by Jared Diamond. Not just those sports books, not just those pop culture books, not just the self-help books, although those are out there too. Becoming by Michelle Obama. Don't watch that Netflix doc. Get the Blinkist Cliff Notes instead. Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict and the Richard Branson book that I told you about yesterday as well. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA. Start your free 7-day trial, and you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T.com/NBA.
I will also say this, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm a Knicks fan. I followed it.
His
GM record is really, really overstated that he was bad. And it's for two or three reasons. He took over a team that I believe if 100 teams took over, 100 GMs took over, 100 would fail. I mean, literally within 3 years of everyone, the team he took over, they're almost all out of the league, which is unheard of. This is how bad. Houston was the only player, and then his knees went bad. Salary, free agents weren't an option because they had a busted salary cap. And then someone analyzed his drafting over the years. You'd be shocked that every one of your listeners would be shocked to find out when they analyze draft position versus value, Isaiah was a top. He was at the top of the list. He was number one over a period. People forget in Toronto, he drafted McGrady at number nine when everyone wanted Ed O'Bannon at the time. He drafted Stoudemire. He drafted Trevor Ariza's first Knicks pick on the 40th pick, who's still playing basketball in the league. David Lee with a 31st pick. He had a lot of good picks in the 20s, and people don't realize that because what he was missing was that big person in the middle, that great player in the middle. So if you had the great person in the middle, he would have been the greatest person to draft peripheral players to put around. But they never had that great player.
Well, so what was the short version of the downside? Was it just, it seemed like that they were always kind of chasing names, it seems like, and throwing money at guys that were maybe a little bit over the hill. Like you said, the draft record, I'll agree with you on. But was the downside that maybe it was trying to fix bigger problems with kind of these quick fixes, whether that be a Chauncey Billups or Jalen Rose, Eddie Curry, some of these other names that have come up as guys that were not living up to their contracts?
Trading was his weak spot, but he was always in a really bad position. I've always said if Joe Dumars, the trader, plus Isaiah Thomas, the drafter, if you could mix them together, this would be the best GM of all time.
Yeah,
I'm really
exactly
telling you.
Because
Dumars wasn't a great drafter, but he sure was a great trader, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that was Isaiah's, weakness. But at the same time, he overpaid for people. It's like he had to have a talent base. So he would, he left. There was a mismatch of talent, but there was talent. There was Zach Randolph there. There was Jamal Crawford there. They both went on to be All-Stars. Jamal went to be Sixth Man of the Year in three different places. Zach Randolph was an All-Star with Memphis. There was David Lee was there. There was talent there. And I would argue, and this man gets no negativity towards him, but Donnie Walsh was far worse than Isaiah in that he got rid of all the talent in his hopes to get LeBron James in 2010 via free agency. And it backfired. They got Stoudemire, who had one great year, and then he busted his knee, and everything was gone. They gave away draft picks. They gave away the entire talent that Isaiah had built. But you never really hear a bad word about Donnie Walsh, who was very media friendly. So, and then there's a string of GMs since 2000. Layden, Phil Jackson was horrible. I mean, so it's like, what, we're going to pull Isaiah out of the pot here when every single GM has been terrible for the last 20 years? I don't know.
Yeah, totally agree. And like you said, Donnie Walsh somehow gets by scot-free. But let's now that we've got a Knicks fan here, I want to get your thoughts. Obviously, a couple of teams jockeying for position and where you don't want to be in jockeying for position right now at the very bottom of the league. What are you guys thinking? I mean, LaMelo Ball is the star of stars coming into this as far as the upside possibility. Where are Knicks fans out right now? I know that it's a few decades of misery, basically, but where are we at in terms of Leon Rose, in terms of how we're feeling right now? Scott Perry used to be a Pistons executive as well. Where are we at right now with this offseason? And is Christian Wood a possibility to throw some money at? Pistons fans don't want to hear that, but the Knicks could be a team that might be interested in the Pistons' young big man.
It's a good question, and I wish, we're on a show, and I wish I had good answers for you. I really don't. I just don't know enough. They're too new. We don't know where we're picking. I could tell you, and I say this with all love to my fellow Knicks fans, we're a delusional bunch. You know, every single year, we think we're going to get the number one pick. We think we had Zion in the bag, and this is how we think. And so I think for me, I'm frustrated. And it's interesting, it actually does go back to Isaiah, because one of the huge criticisms was that he should have dumped everything and rebuilt through the draft. And, and for the last 12 years...
How's that going?
As if it's promised to you. As if you're going to get the big fish. All you got to do is clear the money. So we've had 12 years of evidence that maybe that's not the winning strategy either. And we're going to continue that strategy. And I don't know if it's such a good strategy. You know, I do like to, you know, bring up Barrett, Kevin Knox, bring up these young players and maybe stink for a couple of more years and get some high draft picks and move forward. I don't know who's out there, but if we're going to be horrible for so long, let's be horrible and build with some young players. That's where I'm at.
Well, a couple of franchises that are kindred spirits on Sunday nights these days and also all throughout the NBA season. And I'm speaking for Pistons fans. I think the league is much better when the New York Knicks and Madison Square Garden is as relevant as it needs to be. And hopefully the Pistons and the Knicks can have some success down the road for the well-being of both of us, I'm thinking. So Chuck Modiano of Deadspin, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Chuck Modiano of Deadspin.com. Do a favor to the show here and give him a follow on Twitter to show your appreciation for him taking the time to talk Isaiah Thomas and, of course, the New York Knicks with us as well. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. Check out BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10, even better, off your first order. You're basically getting some of this stuff for free if you play your cards right. Do that. And now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying have a great day. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.